It's time for the North Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is another edition of the North Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com, where we are breaking down the biggest athletic stories in districts 1 and 2 week in, week out in the great state of Idaho. You can check out this podcast several different ways. We show it live via video on the idahosports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter account. You can go back and watch the replay of that at all three destinations as well. If you're not able to be there live, you can also listen to this podcast at idahosports.com or wherever you download and subscribe to podcasts. So welcome in. I'm Brandon Bainey. Let's bring on our North Idaho resident and expert, Ryan Skaggs. What's up, Skaggs?
Not much, man. Just living the dream. So
we are recording on Friday, April 12th. Very rarely do we infringe on Friday territory. Usually we've got it knocked out by the end of the week, but life happens sometimes, right? It's been a little chaotic lately.
Schedules get busy and we have to bump things, and that's okay. But we didn't forget about everybody out there. We got a chance to recover a little bit from Saturday, and here we are.
Yeah, so what you get is you get casual Brandon. I'm in a hoodie. Normally I'm wearing a nice shirt of some kind, but the weather's just too nice. If Paul Kingsbury, our boss, is listening, I'm probably going to play hooky later today and cut out early. Maybe go up to Honeysuckle Beach and
get
in some nice weather. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyways, I'm ready. I'm like, it's like the last day of school, and I'm just like looking at the clock, like how much longer I got to hang around here before I can get out. Ryan is wearing just a nice long sleeve t-shirt. It looks like, huh?
It's like a thinner sweatshirt, but yeah. I mean, most of my attire comes from Costco, so yeah.
Yeah, you know, we need the little disclaimer. You know, you watch like the NFL Today on CBS, and at the end it's always like James Brown wardrobe provided by, we'll just have you know, Ryan Skaggs wardrobe provided by Costco.
It's like head to toe except for the shoes, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that. That sounds good. I was gonna bring up the fact that we were on talking before I hit the record button to go live. You were wearing glasses, and then it's like, oh, it's time for me to be on camera, let me just whip those off. Well, and
I get a weird glare coming in because I got a window right here, and so if I'm like trying to look at the camera every once in a while, I'll glance up and it like goes through. So I mean, I use them more for distance vision than anything else, but in my age I'm starting to notice that I need them more often than not for everything. So
just don't make the mistake that our boss Paul Kingsbury made. This was like 2 or 3 years ago now, and he got LASIK surgery. And you know, good for him. That's awesome. Let me ask you, would you ever do that? Would you ever do LASIK surgery?
There's no need for it for me. I don't know. My eyesight, I mean, it's not the greatest. I got an astigmatism too, so I'm probably a great candidate for it. But I also have poor distance vision in addition to my astigmatism. So when it rains, it's like, if I don't have my glasses, I'm good as like being blind. Like it's awful. But at nighttime, I have to have glasses too. If I drive at night, I can't read squat. I can see objects. It's just fine details. They're not there.
Yeah. And I basically need, you know, if I'm not wearing my glasses, I've got contact lenses in, I'm like blind as a bat. I don't know that I'd ever do LASIK surgery. I just don't know. There hasn't been enough data yet. You know, we're kind of in the first generation of people that have gotten it. So I don't know what the long-term effects are. And so like,
I don't mind wearing glasses. I can make them look okay. And they don't bug me. Like contacts don't fit my eyes, just flat out. I've tried them like 3 separate times, and every time I've tried it, it's been a miserable fail and I just couldn't get to it. So I'm okay with like relegating to glasses the rest of my life if I have to. But yeah. I also have light sensitivity too. So I have like prescription sunglasses too. So that's why people always see me if I'm out in public. I'm usually wearing sunglasses, but yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So just to wrap up this story, I always try to have a non-sports kind of personal story to lead off here in the springtime, especially when things slow down a little bit.
Sure.
Paul Kingsbury, our boss, this was like 2 or 3 years ago, got LASIK surgery, which is fine. And basically, I guess you have an option like, hey, You can choose kind of near sight or far sight. Like one of them will be kind of somewhat compromised still. Otherwise the recovery time is like significantly longer to do both. And he was like, yeah, just give me the far sight. That's what I really struggle with. So what he discovered is he got the LASIK surgery, recovered, and then got right back into calling games for IdahoSports.com. And he was doing a basketball game and he looked down at the roster and realized, oh crap, I can't read what this says.
So he's like out here.
So he now is a guy that has gotten LASIK surgery, and yet every time he broadcasts a game, he's got glasses slid down to the end of his nose so he can peer down and look at the roster. Oh, it's hilarious.
That's funny. Like, yeah, I'm not to that point yet where like my dad's got like the bifocals and all that stuff too, but I'm not quite to that territory.
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Here's a comment from Sean Kane, our East Idaho prep caster. Your eyes are bad, but both of you can see talent.
There we go.
Hey, and speaking of talent, boy, I don't know that I've ever been in a room with as much singular talent as last week's North Idaho Athletic Hall of Fame banquet. It was the 62nd Hall of Fame banquet or Hall of Fame class getting inducted into the North Idaho Athletic Hall of Fame. And for the first time, IdahoSports.com live streamed the event. Ryan, you and I were there on Saturday night at the Coeur d'Alene Resort for a really fun evening. Uh-oh. You got me now? Uh-oh, we lost Ryan Skaggs, I think. Oh no, Skaggs. You there?
I'm the only one out there watching live right now, but it's a spinning wheel. Are you back yet? You okay?
You got me? I'm in.
You can't. You went away. No, now you're gone. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What is happening right now with the internet in North Idaho?
You have no idea, man. I have no idea, but I've got you briefly, so we can keep going. But
somebody in the chat, let me know who's got the internet problems here. Is it me or is it Skaggs? Who are you getting interrupted feeds from? Or maybe it's just us on the back end. We'll see. You got me now? You good?
Yeah, we're good now.
Okay. Weird.
You have too many browser windows open, but.
I have a relatively modest number of tabs open compared to what I normally do. So that's, I don't know, we'll see. My computer's in Friday mode too. I don't really feel like working.
Anyways, we were talking about the North Idaho Hall of Fame, and that's when you kind of went crazy, or I went crazy and I couldn't deal with anything. But we can start over.
Yes, North Idaho Athletic Hall of Fame last Saturday. It was the 62nd Hall of Fame class that got inducted. And for the first time, IdahoSports.com live streamed the event. You and I were both at the Coeur d'Alene Resort on Saturday night, and what a fun evening it was. We had a lot of people come up to talk to us and thank us afterwards, and just to hear the speeches and see all the awards winners. I mean, that's a night I'll never forget in terms of events I've done since I've been at IdahoSports.com. That is at or very near the top of the list.
That was it exceeded my expectations. I knew that they do a good job and it was going to be a pretty good event, like, you know, and really focused on the talent of the younger athletes in the high school level, because they did some college stuff too. But the level in which they took that was just unbelievable. I mean, I thought they did a phenomenal job putting that thing together, and bringing in Mark Schlereth as the keynote speaker. That was one of the better stories and speeches that I've heard in a long time. I mean, that had us on the floor laughing in some parts, and you know, being able to be real about some stories that you see and further in the business, and being able to hear like Randy Mueller talk about what it's like coming from a small town, and he like had all the small town kids, you know, kind of stand up, single them out and stuff too. And you know, he never looked back on his roots. And if you don't know who Randy Mueller is, he was an NFL GM and vice president for a number of teams throughout the NFL. And even now I think he's on the head board of the AFL or the USFL or whatever it is now, the UFL. but just a great night and being able to meet those individuals too. But also the most fun I had was meeting all the kids that we've talked about and finally getting correct pronunciations of people that we've been for 3.5 years saying their name incorrectly. So yeah, no, that's it was awesome.
The night belonged to Bonner's Ferry High School and the Bonner's Ferry community. They were the loudest section. They were the rowdiest group of tables. They had a lot of award winners. And if you want to see all the award winners, you can go to nihof.org, or you can watch the replay of the Athletic Hall of Fame banquet. It's on our YouTube channel and Facebook page, actually. And you can go back and watch the replay of all of that. But yes, let's single out, you know, the young men and women that came up to talk to us. Jack Driscoll from Logos came up before the event and shook our hands and said, thanks for all the great coverage. And
his parents came up too. That was all afterwards. That was awesome as well. And yeah, that was super cool.
Football at Logos, basketball at Logos, baseball for Moscow. He's going to play college football. Yeah. He told us.
Yeah, he's going to play college football at the next level. And, you know, he's going to be at the NAIA level, but he's going to find success. I mean, I look at that kid and how hard he works and the body of work and the type of athlete and just a great kid. I mean, he's going to do great things. And I loved Randy Mueller's speech for that reason, because it was directed at kids like him and Ty Kep and some of those smaller school kids that they can go on and do huge things, even if they play at the NAIA level. Because that was what Randy Mueller did himself. He walked onto an NAIA team and leading his team to a national championship. But it was cool that, you know, they got up and, you know, they singled out the parents too. They had all the kids stand up that were nominated for awards, and then they had them turn around and give a standing ovation in turn for their parents and their coaches. That was awesome. That was a really cool moment. And but being able to meet other kids, I'd see Ty Kep here and there, but, you know, being able to say hi to him and, you know, Shea Robertson's family came up and talked to us, and it was just really cool. And then meeting, obviously, the Bonner's Ferry crew, they're a ton of fun. And you nailed it. They absolutely owned the night. I don't know, like Dennis Patch in the MC said, he goes, I don't know if there's anybody to stop you if you speed through town right now because everybody's here. Is there any lights on? Like, it seemed like everybody from town was down in Coeur d'Alene on Saturday night from Bonner's Ferry and celebrating just the great amount of success that their athletes have had over the last year.
Yeah, it was really fun. So, yeah, Jack Driscoll from Logos, just to wrap up his story, he's going to Dakota Wesleyan, NAIA, to play football. We kind of joked to I said, hey, I thought you might try like football and baseball somewhere. He goes, I got off to kind of a cold start this season, so whatever. You know, I'm like, hey, there's still plenty of runway left, you know, to turn this thing around. You got it. And then, yes, we did. We got to meet, we got to talk to each of the Bateman brothers, right? Cal and then his brother. Those are the parents. And then we actually talked to both from Bonner's Ferry High School. We talked to Trey Bateman, and then we talked to Asha Abubakari, who really quick mea culpa, we've been talking about her for 4 years because she's been just a four-year standout across three sports for Bonner's Ferry. The whole time we have been saying her name incorrectly, Asha.
And nobody ever corrected us, though.
Yeah,
too. She didn't care. She's like, "Oh, that's great." No, she was super sweet, dude. She was awesome. The favorite kids to meet. That was super awesome. She's a great kid, and she's gonna go to Fresno State, like as an athlete. Which, I mean, well deserved. Absolutely well deserved. And you know, she's an awesome young woman, and she's going to do some great things for the Bulldogs. As a Bronco, that breaks my heart a little bit. I did tell her that. I was like, you couldn't have just gone, you know, 400 miles south. But no, she's going to go down to Fresno State and have a great career as an athlete there for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, she's going to be a thrower in track and field. Shot put, discus, maybe javelin, maybe hammer throw. I don't know. We'll see what they have planned for her at Fresno State. But yes, Asha, I'm so sorry we've been saying your name wrong all these years. But that was a highlight of the night as well, certainly. And then, you know, I got to say hello to a couple of coaches. You know, we saw Zane Hobart, the Kendrick football coach there. And, you know, we talked to him for a little bit. And then funniest thing was it got done. And Stetson Spooner,
I love Stetson, man. He's awesome.
head football coach and athletic director at Mullen. And, you know, he's part of that Mullen St. Regis co-op. They're going to be competing in Montana next year in St. Regis's league. But we'll still follow them and kind of keep you updated on what they're doing, those kids from Mullen. But he came up to me afterwards. He's just, hey, Bainey, you got a pen? And I was like, I actually don't. I'm like, what do you need it for? And he's like, hey, man, I got to go ask Mark Schlereth for an autograph. Like, I can't let this opportunity pass me by. I'm like, he was like, I could see the 12-year-old in Stetson there. And he got the autograph. So there you go.
He did. And he was like telling me, I kind of eavesdropped on this conversation with Schlereth, and it was cool. They were talking about, he was like, all of his friends are always looking at like players like Emmett Smith and Barry Sanders and stuff like that. And he was always following the offensive linemen. And so he was like, Schlereth, and he was just rattling off offensive lineman names like that. You know, they were, you know, and a lot of them are Hall of Famers and all-star ball pros and stuff like that. But the names he was just rattling off to Schlereth, Schlereth was just like, like talking to him. I mean, it was pretty cool. That was a cool moment to see an adult become a kid for a few minutes too. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And of course, Mark Schlereth, former Idaho Vandals offensive lineman, won 3 Big Sky championships, and then had a great NFL career as an offensive guard for both the Washington Redskins and the Denver Broncos. Won a couple Super Bowls along the way as well. So he was a great keynote speaker, and it was just a great night overall. And I think it was a resounding success. Obviously, it was a resounding success from the North Idaho Athletic Hall of Fame. They've got this fine-tuned at this point. They know what they're doing. I thought it was a great success for us, though, being able to add an element to it. And it's a great partnership that I see only strengthening in the years to come.
Absolutely. And the individuals that put it on, I mean, folks like Bert Salberg and, you know, Rick Rasmussen and the rest of that crew, and you know, Kenny Hobart's on that board as well. And he was incredibly helpful with us as well, getting things put together. You know, that was an awesome opportunity for us just to be there and be able to bring it to family members. We had people that, we had a coach that won an award, and she found out by watching our feed while they were in Hawaii, which was, that was pretty neat. That was awesome that, you know, there was a bunch of people that were missing from the event for one thing or another. They had family events or vacations scheduled and stuff like that, because it was the end of the college seasons. And they were watching on our feed, and that was pretty cool to be able to provide that. And somebody, you know, messaged me later going, hey, my grandma was watching down in California, and I had an aunt watching down in like Colorado or something like that. It was awesome. That was super cool to be able to be the ones that provided that opportunity to be there and join in on the festivities for a great event. It was awesome, and I hope that we get a chance to do that for years to come.
Yeah, it was just a great night overall, for sure. So again, North Idaho Athletic Hall of Fame, you can go to NIHOF.org. There were 50 awards given out. So, I mean, we'd be here all day highlighting them all. Coeur d'Alene Press also had, you know, the award winners. And you could also just go back and watch it on IdahoSports.com's YouTube channel or Facebook page. So,
yeah. And I would say this too, like we talked about on Bonner's Ferry on the night, I think for team awards, Coeur d'Alene cross country team, holy smokes. I mean, like athlete of the years, like they had everybody listed, man. It was awesome that how much they got for accolades, and they deserved it. I mean, the season they had winning a state championship, going on and winning a regional championship, and then going to nationals and placing in the top 11 top 12 at nationals, was an incredible finish for that team. And I know their coach was the coach of the year, and well deserved. I mean, it just, huge amount of kudos to that Viking team.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys were gone, actually, from the Hall of Fame ceremony, the Coeur d'Alene Cross Country boys, because they were competing at the Arcadia Invitational in California, big national competition. Marlo Herford had a great recap of everything that happened there in this week's edition of The Bell Lap. That's our weekly track and field rundown with Marlo Herford. It's every Tuesday. Tuesdays are for track and field this spring at idahosports.com. Max Servi Skinner had the best time in the 3200. He took 25th overall, which, you know, national competition, pretty good. New personal best in 905.65. Zachary Servi Skinner, that's Max's brother. And then Jacob King were also down there running from that Coeur d'Alene team, all in the 2 mile, the 3200. And this is an invitational. You have to get invited to it. You can't just show up. So that says a lot about those three right there also.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, there's been a lot of fanfare around them, and they've earned every inch of it for sure.
Definitely. Okay, let's real quickly stop down on track and field. We've kind of been keeping an eye on the leaderboards statewide for boys and girls track and throwers in North Idaho on the girls' side. I mean, there is no shortage. Sage Elvin of Prairie had the best throw in the state in the discus for such a long time. I feel like it was 3 or 4 weeks. We kept doing the weekly check-in skags. Yep. She has finally been surpassed by a fellow North Idaho thrower, Lindy Kessinger of Orofino, at the Leah Swanson Memorial invite, threw it 137 feet, 2.5 inches. That is now the top discus throw in the entire state.
Yep. Yeah. Well earned. And yeah, we talked about like Elvin, you know, the small schools are having a bit of a revival, I think, statewide. I mean, you look at a lot of the state marks and this is just, you know, all classifications, all districts, pretty well represented in most events. You got some great athletes at the small school level that have been able to show up. And we talk about girl throwers up here in North Idaho. There's no shortage of great throwers. You talk about Elvin, we talked about Asha, and Ivy Smith is the other one. I mean, stepping up, and now she's got the lead mark in the shot put in the state of Idaho as well with all classifications. So, you know, we're well represented in the field events, but you know, some of the timed events, obviously in the runs, you can tell weather got better in Southern Idaho because a lot of their times it went down significantly. But I do know that McLean still had Trent McLean from Post Falls still has the second best high jump of the year so far, 6'6". But he was eclipsed. Now there's a jumper, I think, that just cleared 6'8" the other day. So, but he's still in the top two. So that's still noteworthy.
Yeah. Pretty awesome to see there. Skaggs, when you look at the top five in the state for girls shot put and girls discus, three of the top five slots are currently occupied by North Idaho girls in the shot put. Ivy Smith of Sandpoint is one. Asha Abubakari from Bonner's Ferry is three. Catherine Burnett of Potlatch is fourth, and this is statewide. Yeah. And then you look at the discus. Lindy Kessinger from Orofino, one. Sage Elvin of Prairie is two, only 2 feet off of Lindy. And then Asha, again, from Bonner's Ferry is fifth. So three of the five in both the girls shot put and discus. And what I really love about this is it's spread out across, right, for Sandpoint and Ivy Smith, that's 4A. Yeah. Asha Abubakari, Bonner's Ferry, 3A. Lindy Kessinger, Orofino, 2A. Sage Elvin, Prairie, 1A. So they're all competing against each other in a way in these regular season meets and on the leaderboard. But then when it's time for state, they'll all have their chance to go get that individual crown.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a good year and a nice haul for a lot of these teams and these individuals. From North Idaho District 1 and District 2, they're going to be well represented come state meet time. Obviously, you got to close things out, but there's opportunity for a lot of hardware to come home back to District 1 and District 2 this spring.
For sure. Okay, one more quick track and field note, and then we're going to move on here. In the chat, Max Oswald from the Bonner County Daily Bee up there in Sandpoint. Nice. Just joining in, if you haven't got to pole vault yet, Sandpoint's Devin McDaniel broke the school record in the pole vault, 11 feet 6 inches, going to Montana State next year.
That's awesome. That's huge.
The Bobcats have a pretty good track and field program, actually, for the Big Sky. Not like Northern Arizona, but they're good. So, cool. Yeah, way to go, Devin McDaniel.
That's awesome. Going to the Division I level as an athlete. That's awesome. Not many kids get to say that. That's great.
That's awesome. And pole vault is just, I mean, obviously guys like us, the pole's going to break. We don't have the skill to pull that off, but yeah.
I had a friend that did it, man. And he had a screw loose. And I think most pole vaulters, they have to have that little different edge to them to get over some of that stuff. Cause I don't trust something that's only, you know, that big around to carry my fat rear end up in the air. So
yeah, you do. You have to be adventurous to do the pole vault.
Yep. There's a lot of faith, man, in workmanship of somebody else in those poles.
Yep. Hey, tennis real quick. I just wanted to touch base. Coeur d'Alene and Lake City met for the Crosstown Showdown yesterday. The girls' action was at Coeur d'Alene. The boys' action was at Lake City. Coeur d'Alene Press had a good recap of everything that happened. Vikings won 10-2, Skaggs. They basically swept the boys' singles. They swept the boys' doubles. They won the mixed doubles matchup as well. So Connor Judson at number one singles. Grant Johnson at number two singles, Cooper Irwin at number three singles, all one for Coeur d'Alene. And then on the boys doubles side, Aiden Antle and Luke May won number one doubles. Elijah Rabel and Roberto Letta won the number two doubles as well. The mixed doubles was Samuel Mandel and Grace Priest from Coeur d'Alene. And then number two mixed doubles, Payson Irwin and Kaisa Kent all won. And then on the girls side, you look at girls doubles, Katie Schell and Julia Johnson of Coeur d'Alene won at number one doubles. Lake City won the number two doubles with Reese Merck and Josie Hawking. And then in girls singles, it was Maddie Nesbitt of Lake City winning at number one, Maddie Hunt of Coeur d'Alene winning at number two, and then Eden Stevens of Coeur d'Alene winning at number three. Boy, 10-2 win for the Vikings, though. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. They got a good program rolling there. And you know, as we the season rolls on, there's some big name events coming up here in the Inland Empire region with, you know, huge meet going on in Spokane at the end of the month. So yeah, there's going to be a lot more ahead as far as quality tennis to be played. But weather, I mean, is getting better, so that's only going to, you're only going to see better competition because the kids are going to get more court time. I mean, we had snow on the ground, you know, a week ago. So, you know, it's an opportunity to get back out on the court and really, you know, hone their skill. I think that there's going to be some surprising marks. We look especially at the 4A level. I think Sandpoint's got a few kids that could genuinely contend for a title. And I know that you and Sean talk a lot about that at length in the East Idaho Prep Cast. But there's some quality tennis up here in North Idaho. Coeur d'Alene Charter's got a strong group, and they got a bunch of kids out too. I drove by there practicing at Ramsey Park, and they've got a nice little turnout for that Coeur d'Alene Charter team this year.
Yeah, and there's only 5A, 4A, 3A tennis, right? So the smaller schools typically don't get involved in tennis. I will give a shout out to Clearwater Valley. They always seem to have a couple of kids that are interested in playing tennis, and awesome for Clearwater Valley for allowing them that opportunity. They don't have enough to compete as a team per se, but they have some individuals that compete. And again, they have to compete at the 3A level because it's just like soccer. There is no 2A or 1A. So I did want to give a shout out to Clearwater Valley there for allowing some of their athletes to compete in tennis. That's not every small school has that luxury.
No, they don't.
Yep. All right, let's wrap up with a little softball baseball. The first coaches polls of the year came out, Skaggs. We always like to wait until April for the first coaches polls of the year because the weather in March is just so unpredictable. Some teams don't even get a game in March. That's how it was last year for a couple of teams. And so we always like to say that March is kind of a throwout. And then when April starts, okay, now we get the coaches polls rolling. I will tell you, starting with softball, not a lot of North Idaho teams ranked. In fact, none in the 5A, 4A, 3A polls. 4A, 3A, okay. I would think maybe Timberlake, you know, just based on reputation, should be ranked in the 3A poll. 5A, everyone's kind of beating up on each other, so I'm kind of okay with that. You get to the 2A poll, though, Ryan. Orofino is third in our debut coaches poll, and the Maniacs are off to a great start.
They're off to a great start, and, you know, I see a lot of success, you know, coming forward to that. And I will say this. We did talk about it a little bit early on in the season, but we knew the 5A was going to be ultra competitive. I mean, we knew that they were going to beat up on each other. It was pretty level playing field with all those teams. So kind of picking a champion out of the conference this year, it's going to – I don't know. It's kind of a crapshoot. But you go down to 2A, and, you know, it's been kind of St. Mary's running the show a little bit for a couple of years. And now you see this Maniac team making some strides and off to a hot start. So that's really great to see for, you know, softball at the 2A level in this area. And, you know, it's only going to get better, I think, as, like you said, the weather gets better. They're going to get more cuts in, and they're going to be able to get out on the field more and not have as many rainouts. So see a lot of doubleheaders, I think, coming up the next few weeks for a lot of these teams as they make up some dates. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how this month progresses. It's kind of like a witching hour for a lot of these teams because the season does end so abruptly once you hit the month of May.
Yeah, Orofino is 9-2 on the season. They are 4-0 in conference play. They did just fall to Glens Ferry, a 1A program there. Orofino is down competing, and I think Grangeville is down there too. They're competing in Glens Ferry this weekend at a softball tournament down there. So. Orofino took just their second loss of the season yesterday to Glens Ferry 7-3, but the Maniacs and coach Sean Diffin got a good thing brewing. And then, of course, at the 1A level, Ryan, there's only the two districts, right? District 2 in the north, District 3 in Boise. And so, of course, there's going to be some teams ranked in the 1A poll. Genesee, the defending state champs, very quietly have started undefeated, not getting a lot of fanfare, I feel like, early on. Genesee is very, very good. Kendrick is ranked third. Clearwater Valley is ranked fourth, and Potlatch is tied for fifth.
Yeah, and I look at it again. I don't understand how some of that works, how they get. I think this District 2 teams love to be under the radar and slide it a little bit, because I do really feel that, once again, we'll see the state champ come out of that conference. But, Genesee quietly, but they've got great coaching, man. Coach Malcolm does such a great job with that unit. And the Bulldogs, they got a great lineup. They're going to be a contender. I mean, we see them undefeated now, but I think that that's going to continue and hold suit. But Lewiston's kind of the softball mecca right now because everybody's moving games there. I saw Kendrick had to move some games to Airport Park in Lewiston this week with weather and everything else. So, I think, it's still early. It's, we're only in the second week of April, and there's still a whole lot of time and a lot of softball to be played. But I think we'll start to see our favorites really start to emerge in the next couple weeks.
I think what's impressive for Genesee is they beat Orofino, mm-hmm. right? So, and Orofino's only lost twice all year. We just mentioned that. They have beaten Lewiston's JV twice. Now it's a JV, but it's a 5A JV. And they've beaten the Moscow JV also. And none of these games are particularly close against these JV teams. Really what I've got circled on the schedule is Kendrick and Genesee. They're going to play on back-to-back days, Monday, April 29th, Tuesday, April 30th. The Monday game will be in Genesee. The Tuesday game will be in Julietta. And that will probably decide your conference race right there. And so it'll be fun to see that as it comes down the track for sure. But yeah, Genesee is 6-0. And I think statewide isn't on anybody's radar yet because they haven't played a lot of games. But up here in North Idaho, we know they're legit. They're good.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, they had a couple winners on Saturday night, so that tells you what you need to know.
Exactly. All right. Baseball coaches, polls, Skags. Nobody ranked in the – let me double check. I don't want to give you bad info here. Nobody ranked in the top five in Class 4A or Class 3A, but we do have someone breaking through in the 5A poll, and it is Lake City. The Timberwolves check in at number four on the coaches poll this week. I think that's an appropriate place for them.
Absolutely. I think Lake City is a dangerous team. I mean, you look at what they were able to do down at the tournament down at Rocky Mountain earlier in the year. I mean, granted, weather was a factor in everything in some of their games, but that team, they've got offense. They've got great pitching. They've got defense behind them. They can pop off for a couple home runs every game too. That's a team that could be a dangerous out if they make it through the league schedule and they're the bid to state. That's a team that's going to be a tough outcome state tournament time.
Definitely. Also in the 2A poll, Orofino still undefeated, Skags. They checked in at number three in the poll this week behind both Coal Valley Christian and Nampa Christian. And then Grangeville is right there at number four as well. Grangeville is down playing. And so we talked about on the softball side that Grangeville and Orofino were in Glens Ferry for a tournament. The Glens Ferry baseball team is also hosting a tournament this weekend. It's the annual Wood Bat tournament, and Grangeville is down there playing. And I'm trying to remember if Orofino's down there as well. I don't think Orofino made the trip down, but Grangeville's down there playing at the old Wood Bat tournament. That's always fun.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't see the offense necessarily pop off in those tournaments either. It's a little bit more of a pitching exhibit. I mean, bats are so different now, even on the metal side compared to like the composites and stuff that they have when I was a kid, ripping the freaking red lines and the TPX Omaha and everything else like back as a kid. But things have changed so much nowadays with how things are. It's an adjustment going to a wood bat. It really is. And, we'll see how things go, but I mean, obviously you don't use it the rest of the season. So it's just kind of a one-off tournament, which is nice to see, but it's nice to get out of your district too and play some games, maybe get some different weather. If you're, I don't know what the Camas Prairie is like today, but typically it's not too friendly this time of year, so going south isn't a bad idea to get some warmer weather and maybe have the offense wake up a little bit.
For sure. And Orofino has established themselves as the team to beat. The Maniacs are 11-0 overall, 3-0 in the district, and they've already beaten Grangeville twice. They get one more game with the Bulldogs coming up later this season. So to me, the question is, who takes second? Is it Grangeville? Is it Kellogg? We know Kellogg's got some good athletes. Is it St. Mary's? They're playing for a lot, after the tragic passing of longtime coach Craig Teft, earlier this year. And so I don't know. All three of those teams, it wouldn't surprise me. Kellogg is 1-0 in league play. Grangeville's 3-2 with the two losses to Orofino. St. Mary's is behind the eight ball a little bit, right? They're 1-2 in league play to start. And then Priest River is winless on the season. St. Mary's has fallen to Orofino once and Grangeville once.
I think St. Mary's of those teams, though, has the highest ceiling, too, because you look at some of the players. They've got, like, Jackson Nantel and some other guys. They got some offense on that team. I mean, that unit can hit if they wake up. I mean, it's like, I don't know if they have to go sacrifice a chicken and get Joe Boo to wake up the bats or something, but if that's a major league reference for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. But, they're going to have the opportunity, I think, to maybe get some offense going. I mean, pitching is at a premium, I think, at any level in high school baseball. So, if you can make hay at the plate, that's gonna bode well for you. But I don't think there's the pitching necessarily outside of Orofino that you would see like from teams like Troy and Kendrick and some of those other teams that are at the smaller level that just have aces on their lineup all over the place. But it'll be interesting to see how things progress this season. Like I said, St. Mary's I think has the highest ceiling outside of Orofino, but I think Grangeville's been the most consistent team.
Yeah. And last year, the 2A state baseball tournament had, I believe, two teams from up north make it. Orofino and Kellogg were the two that qualified for state last year. Orofino, of course, got to the semis against Nampa Christian and fell in 8 innings, 2-1. Just a heartbreaker for the Maniacs, but it would be fun to see them get back there for sure. And then 1A baseball, Troy's number one, Kendrick is number two, Potlatch number five. If we're being honest here, real talk, Glens Ferry and Idaho City were both ranked in the poll. Glens Ferry, probably you could put them at number five, but the top four, I mean, it's got to be teams from the White Pine. And honestly, I think because only four get to go, it's with Troy, Kendrick.
Fan. Like if they had, if they had sweep a fan, let it happen.
You definitely could. I'm trying to remember in softball, they gave out some at-large bids last year to allow that. They did three from District 3, three from District 2, and then there was two at-large bids. It ended up being an even 4-4 split in softball last year. I'm trying to remember if they did that in baseball. They didn't. Okay, so it ended up being four from the north, four from the south. And so there was a fifth team from the north that could have made it and got left out. Last year it was Kendrick, so they're motivated to get back. But between Troy and Kendrick and Clearwater Valley and Prairie and Potlatch, those are five teams that are all worthy of being at state, I feel.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, we've already, the state favorite is in that list, obviously, to win the championship.
Troy.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't put anything past. I mean, you got lineups like Kendrick's got a decent lineup. They can hit the ball. Prairie's got great defense and consistency. Potlatch has got some solid pitching too. So, I mean, it depends on who you're throwing on the bump and in which particular game. You could show up and, throw a one-run game pretty easily, come tournament time. So it'll be interesting to see. I think the district tournament, man, is just going to be hyper-competitive this year at that 1A level.
It was last year. And then we got the state and District 2 swept in the opening round. So you had Prairie and Clearwater Valley and Potlatch and Troy all in the semifinals. And then it was Troy and Clearwater Valley in the championship. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if the same thing happened again this year.
Not at all.
It's just the way it is. So it'll be fun to watch all those teams beat up on each other. And we're still keeping an eye on Lapway. Lapway's got – a couple of athletes from that basketball team, Quentin Kipp and Jarice McCormick, kind of playing there. And then Nez Perce. So typically in the past, it's been Lewis County, right? The Nez Perce Highland Co-op. Highland didn't have any players that wanted to play this year. And so Nez Perce said, okay, we'll go at our own. We've done that in the past. And they were going to do it for baseball and softball, Ryan. Well, only like three or four softball players showed up. So what they did is they consolidated. It's one team. I think there's like three or four girls that are playing baseball with the boys. Kind of a co-ed baseball team in Nez Perce this year. So that's kind of cool.
Interesting. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that that was taking place. I learned something today. That's impressive.
Yeah, no, it's kind of a cool story. So, and they've gotten off to a decent start, you know, kind of a light schedule, but, you know, we'll keep an eye on the Nighthawks from Nez Perce as well in baseball. They are off to a 1-4 start. So we'll see. They split with Lapway, and then they just got swept by Genesee. And I guess we shouldn't discount Genesee in our conversation either, possibly.
Genesee's going to be lurking too.
Wasn't that long ago that they were the state champs. So, all right, let's wrap up with this. A tennis note from, again, our good friend Max Oswald from the Bonner County Daily Bee. Sandpoint's Pepper Rickert. Sandpoint beat Post Falls yesterday 11-1 in tennis action. And Pepper Rickert went 6-0, 6-0 and only lost one single point throughout two sets. He said, people have been asking for her autograph at meets.
Yeah, she's legit, man. I'm telling you, she's the real deal. You know, it would be my dark horse favorite to win the 4A title in tennis. She's the real deal. And that's awesome. And you talk about dominance, losing one single point. Like, that's craziness. Like, I mean, because it's like 15, 30, 40 in love, right? I mean, and then you have game. So it's to only get 1 point is just absolutely nuts. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
And she is a freshman at Sandpoint High School. So
you'll get like a double fault here and there, and then it ends up giving up a point. And so like nothing, like just nope, we're good.
Yeah. The spokesman in Spokane actually had a good article just a couple days ago about Pepper. She went and competed in February at the U14 national tournament. She won the doubles championship, her and her partner, and then she took number two nationally in singles also.
Yeah, that's the real deal right there. That is, and Coach Kent Anderson does such an amazing job with that group, and he helps run. They kind of have a middle school program too that he helps coach, and they have the club team that plays in the summer, and they just got kids that love being out on the court and they love playing, and it shows. They've had success and there's a reason for it. You know, and that starts from the top down there with that group. But yeah, Coach Anderson's awesome. I mean, he's just a great guy, and you know, really cares about the kids and the sport, and he gets them bought in. And you know, they play like with an edge, like a football team when they play tennis. It's kind of funny how you watch them practice and prepare, but there's like a little bit of an edge to them. And they're a sight to behold. Like, Pepper's the real deal. She's legit.
Yeah. And so you might be wondering, she's homeschooled, which allows her to travel to all these national tournaments. I mean, like, how does Pepper Rickert wind up at Sandpoint? Well, the coach, Kent Anderson, that's her grandpa. So there you go.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool deal for sure. That's awesome. We'll keep an eye on it for sure as the season goes along. Max, thanks for all those great Bonner County tidbits. Seriously, Bonner County Daily Bee's been crushing it with Priest River, Sandpoint, Clark Fork coverage. He's got one more. Okay, Jesse Turner from Sandpoint. He was the finalist for baseball athlete of the year, and then he was a co-winner. One more, Jesse Turner, 0.98 ERA through 14 and a third innings this year.
At 4A, that's impressive. That's an impressive stat. I mean, we see it that 1A2, which isn't any less impressive, but to have a sub 1 ERA is that's doing something, man. That's awesome.
That might have been the funniest moment, off the cuff moment. Dennis Patchen, the MC at the Hall of Fame banquet last Saturday, announced Dom Holden from Troy as the baseball player of the year, right? And he was just a sophomore last year. It was for last season. And he's reading, you know, Dom's accomplishments. And he's like, Dom had a 0.14 ERA. 0.14. How many runs did you give up? And Dom's walking by to get his plaque. And he's just, I don't know. Patchen's like, 0.14, what'd you give up, like two runs all year?
That one, and then when he got to the golf one, that one was pretty good too. When he's like rattling off golf scores, and he's like, "You won by what?" It was the kid from Kellogg that won it.
Oh, Stephen Paul. Yeah,
Stephen Paul, and he's like, "You shot a 64?" He's like, "Keep walking, get out of here."
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So again, you can rewatch that North Idaho Athletic Hall of Fame banquet on the idahosports.com YouTube channel and Facebook page. All right, Skaggs, we'll get out of here. I'm trying to keep these shorter, and then we get off topic and get lost, and I apologize. But
we start talking about LASIK, so that was our problem.
I know. Sorry. I try to be somewhat, you know, entertaining at the beginning, and then it always ends up making us go long. So thank you for tuning into the North Idaho PrepCast, everybody. Enjoy the competition this weekend. Travel safe. For Ryan Skaggs, I'm Brandon Bainey, and we will see you next time on idahosports.com.